The Women's Foundation of Arkansas has released a multimedia report of a new study exploring the opportunities, barriers, and resource gaps for Arkansas's women of color business owners. WFA commissioned the study in partnership with the University of Central Arkansas to build on its previous research, identifying entrepreneurship as a key driver of women's economic mobility in Arkansas, especially among Black women. To learn more about the study, Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda spoke with Anna Beth Gorman, Executive Director of the Women's Foundation of Arkansas, and Christy Carter, Director of Marketing for the Division of Outreach and Community Engagement at UCA, and a founding member of the university's Minority Vendor Partnership Initiative. Carter, who is the principal investigator on the study, says the primary goal of the new report was to amplify the voices of women of color.
That's definitely, I guess, the primary goal of the report, but we also wanted to look so at the entrepreneurial ecosystem and those support organizations within that ecosystem and what services and gaps needed to be filled.
So for this report, to find that information, you had 6 virtual focus groups with 44 women of color. You also had 108 surveys from additional participants. The report is interactive, which I really liked because there's 7 women highlighted in videos, and it was so fun, like, being able to hear it from them. So in this report, looking at those barriers, you found that access to capital was the number one barrier, which follows past research that entrepreneurs of color start their businesses with almost 3 times less in overall capital compared to their white counterparts. So we've got capital as an issue, but what were some of the other barriers that participants mentioned?
The really interesting one that popped out, were financial services, and that's really those relationships with accounting services, not just your banks, but, you know, professional services firm. And that is, I mean, truly something that the white community business community takes for granted, right? You know, and again, because if you, like, who are accountants? You know, where are they working? In a small business, you understanding the nuance of what a small business is. I mean, we're talking about very small businesses, right? Sole proprietorships or individuals. So to take that extra step of having that professional service relationship, that's an additional investment that you need, but it is one of the things that's critical to business growth. And so, and in a pandemic year, individuals, businesses that didn't have those relationships, those are who missed out on federal funding, because it was accountants and bankers that walked their clients through the process, that handheld clients through the process. And so I'd like Christy to speak to this, but when she's talking about those gaps, I mean, we're talking about chasms, like huge, you know, just really worlds of difference here.
We look at the data, and you hit it spot on, because you've looked at it, and so you know that the access to capital is the number one barrier, and the barriers underneath the access to capital, you know, or that follow them, are all really these tangible problems or barriers that can be solved. But the one thing that the barrier that came out of this study that surprised me as the PI or the principal investigator was the whole racial bias and discrimination piece of it, specifically the perceived legitimacy part of it. In those focus groups, hearing the women's stories about how they were afraid to put their faces, their Black faces or colorful faces in front of their brand, you know, and their natural hair to represent their brand, because they were afraid of being illegitimate or not being seen as worthy to be patronized by specific consumers. It became an issue. As the lead investigator on the study, I had to look a little bit deeper into what perceived legitimacy was all about and to go into the literature about patronage among women of color business owners and entrepreneurs and how that all plays out. So it's really complicated. You know, again, like I said, credit worthiness and accounting and financial management, even an adequate credit score are all things that these women, if they work on them and they know where the resources are to help them, that can change. But it's hard to change someone's mind about you when, you know, they have a set of ideas about a specific group of people that makes them illegitimate and unworthy of being patronized. So how do you contend with that as a woman of color? So that was the biggest barrier, you know, because again, that's one that it's more difficult to get around. And in the report, you'll read, you know, some of their actual quotes. Those quotes came from the women themselves. And, you know, what's a go around to, you know, to perceive legitimacy? That's another really big conversation. And I want to kind of impress upon anyone who would listen to this, if they're part of the entrepreneurial support organizations that, you know, put out the programs and services to help entrepreneurs, that they're not the problem. They're actually the solution to this and part of the solution to this.
Well, I'm glad you brought up those resources. Something I found fascinating about this study is that 49% of your participants said that they received support from informal networks, and they were neither the respondents were saying that they were neither satisfied nor dissatisfied with support services because they didn't even know they existed. Mm-hmm. So how do you close that gap? Like, whose job is it to educate? Are these organizations not doing a good enough job of reaching out to these women of color? Do these women of color just not know where to look? Because someone in the report said a really nice thing about how she didn't know where to look because she didn't have that generational knowledge being passed down to her.
This is an area that I believe Christy and I are really passionate about. The next steps from or takeaways from this report is addressing the ecosystem and addressing informal versus formal. And for women business owners, women of color business owners, this isn't true generally speaking across the whole state, but in some of the counties that we're talking about, we're talking about impoverished counties, low-income counties, we're talking about, you know, marginalized communities. A lot of these businesses operate in a term I've just started using, the gray economy, right? They're not in the mainstream economy. You know, no matter where you are in the state, you know where your major thoroughfares are in your city, right? Like, that's where the big grocery store is. That's where you do, you know, your everyday stuff. But like in your communities, like where actually you live, like these little specialty stores, so, or sole proprietorships or small, you know, cottage industry style businesses, that's a lot of like the women that we're talking about, right? In this informal space. And they're operating again in the gray economy. Okay. So they've bootstrapped themselves. They've poured their personal finances into their businesses. Conversely, on the mainstream economy, a seasoned business person, they're not going to take from their retirement. They're going to go walk into a bank and get a loan to invest in a business or scale up a business. So, but because we're talking about apples and oranges, we have to start with what we have, right? And so I think it's been so interesting to learn more about the informal networks that exist. And Christy's report, we really got to know a group out of Jonesboro. It's called Over a Cup. And it's this great, this entrepreneurial support. It's a group of women, predominantly, Christy, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, Black women business owners. And they meet once a Saturday and they talk about various different things and they give each other support and they recommend try this, try that. But that's just one example in Eastern Arkansas. 2 weeks ago, through Christy's kind of promoting this, she met and has now connected me to an informal group out of Northwest Arkansas. Christy, the name of it, it's Irma's group. We just visited with them.
Conexión de Negocios. Latinos.
Okay, so it's for the Hispanic business community. You know, and Irma recognized a gap in Northwest Arkansas because she was attending all the networking events, all the chamber events, and she wasn't seeing folks that looked like her at these events. And so she has created an informal ESO entrepreneurial support space, right? And so she and I just had the opportunity to meet late last week, and we talked about, you know, how the Small Business Administration is really trying to push right now to get small minority-owned businesses into this second round of PPP. They've lowered a lot of restrictions. Right now, it's focused really on identifying women and minorities to get them in. You know, and she pointed out, are there any of these webinars, though, in Spanish? And so it took me 2 phone calls to find the state agency that had the one webinar in Spanish, you know, but to get that to Irma. So it's like we have to bridge from the gray to the mainstream without undervaluing what's happening in our gray economy. Businesses are thriving. I mean, communities are moving forward and they're doing, but, you know, again, when we want to create generational wealth and we want to really address gender and racial wealth gaps, we want to see the gray economy become more of the mainstream economy. And that's where you see this transformational wealth happen, the generational wealth happen. And so that's important. But that connection between informal and formal groups, it's going to be really critical.
You know, it's difficult to have these conversations about race and anything that deals with racism or system issues. So one big thing about this particular report that shed a light on all of it is just the knowledge gap, period. Closing the knowledge gap for all entrepreneurs and everyone and all the actors within the entrepreneurial ecosystem is imperative, I think, for our state to thrive even more so. So knowledge, in my opinion, has no color, right? It's, you know, knowledge should be open for everyone. And this is really a great opportunity for our state to come together collectively, all the folks and ESOs involved that have the means to come together and let's figure out how we can truly map the entrepreneurial ecosystem in Arkansas. And that's really where Annabeth and I met. I was actually pitching the entrepreneurial ecosystem mapping at the Asset Funders Network event, and it was back in 2019. And I'm out here talking about mapping the entrepreneurial ecosystem for Arkansas so that we can come together to create a structure like some of the other states have done and major cities have done, where we go out, find out where are those resources and put them in one place. Maybe it's online, where everyone can access it. And so we know what services we have out there and things aren't so disjointed because now we know who's offering what. And that's hard to do, you know. It's something that's hard to do, but it's not impossible. We have definitely have benchmark programs across the nation, and we have friends in other places who have done this. So Arkansas can do the same thing. And I'm hoping, you know, as a PI and an ecosystem builder, that what we end up seeing is we start pulling all of our resources together to make that a reality so that we're not all fumbling around trying to figure out where the information is and to kind of help close that knowledge gap.
So this report is so critical in our next phase of work. From the highlights of the report, we are going to be working on what we call a regional economic mobility hub, and it's going to be focusing on women of color business owners, and it is intentionally to address gender and racial wealth gaps in our state. And we hope to tackle all the items that we've talked about today, but the knowledge gap that we want to address is the knowledge gap for the organizations that aren't stepping up to the plate to do what they need to do for the women business owners. It's not the women's knowledge gap we can learn from this report. It is raising awareness amongst the agencies that we went to. You know, the Small Business Administration saw this report. They recognize, okay, you know, we need to do more, and what can we do? And so they're working with us to launch some webinars in the next couple of weeks designed for PPP, but really addressing a female perspective, like getting rid of jargon, getting rid of words that are insider terminology. Just like, tell it to me straight. Am I eligible? What do I need? Who do I call? How do I get it forgiven? You know, I'm a busy woman. I don't have time for all this. Like, I just need to know those things really, really quickly. And so again, it's, I think what we're really hopeful about is that, you know, women business owners can share with us more about their perspective, and we can address our knowledge gap on the other side and really bridge, you know, the gray and the mainstream economies together.
That was Annabeth Gorman, Executive Director of the Women's Foundation of Arkansas, and Principal Investigator Christy Carter. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda earlier this week. The full report is available at womensfoundationarkansas.org.